Alright, we're going to begin here on the bottom. Kofi Yud Gimel at Bet. The Mishnah discussed, after it brought a number of items that are pasul because El Petach Omoed Lo Evio, then it brings a second group of items that are psulim, but it brings an alternate pasuk, which is Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. And so what the Gemara wants to understand is, why aren't all those items psulim because of the fact that it is El Petach Omoed Lo Evio? If you look at the list of items, they're all things that are problematic to bring as korbanot, and they should have been disqualified like the other items in the Mishnah, because El Petach Omoed Lo Evio, you can't bring them as korbanot. Mara wants to understand over here, what's the difference between the first list of items and the second list of items? Amongst those items are Haruveya Barnir Ba, which is bestiality. And as we noted already in the Mishnah, those are items, according to Rabbi Shima, that ain't psulan bakodesh. And since ain't psulan bakodesh, imalu yerdu, they will be taken off the Mizbeach. That means that they're not ra'oi lavo El Petach Omoed. So then the Mishnah should have just quoted that pasuk as the source for the fact that these are disqualified. And if that's the case, you're not going to be chayav for halav b'chutz or shkita b'chutz with these items. So that's what Gemara says. V'ha nami typically mi petach omoed. Why don't we learn that that's the psul over here? That's what disqualifies it or makes it that it's not going to be chayav for halav b'chutz. So now Gemara says, bishlama roveya v'nir ba'a. Gemara says there's something different over here, which is mishkachatle. You can have a situation in which it's different than the items mentioned previously in the Mishnah. Daktashinu mi'ikara, because they were first kodesh, v'hadar ravu, and then afterwards the bestiality was performed with them. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that these psulim have a unique aspect to them, which is that there was a point in time where they were ksherim lemizbech. So that means that they were able to be ra'oi petach omoed. Not now, not currently, but there was a point in time where they were ra'oi the petach omoed. But now, they became disqualified. Unlike the other items in the Mishnah, which were disqualified from the outset, and they were never El Petach Omoed Avio, here, these could have been brought, the Omoed. It's just that, now, they are psulim. So here, the situation was, you could have brought them, because you were makdish, the animals, but then, something happened, even after they were kodesh. So after they were already mukdash, then, the bestiality was performed. But the Gemara says, that makes sense by the case of Roveya Virnirba, because Roveya Nirba is an action that can be performed on the animal after it's already Kodesh. And so that means that it had a shot to head there, a time when it was El Petach Omoed Lo Hevio was not true about it, because it could have been brought to Petach Omoed. And that's why you need this second pasuk to tell you, despite the fact that it once was Ra'oi the Bol Petach Omoed, because now it can't be El Petach Omoed Lo Hevio, Lakriv Korban LaShem Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. Something that now can be brought Lifnei Mishkan Hashem, and that's not true of these items, because they once were El Petach Omoed Hevio, but they're no longer in that category. It can't be brought into the Mishkan Hashem now. That's enough to disqualify it so that there is no chiyuv for halav b'chutz, even though there was a period in time in which it was kasher lahavio. So that, the Gemara says, works with roveya b'nirba. But you have a much bigger problem, ele muksa v'nevad. The next two items that are mentioned in that list are muksa nevad. Muksa is something that was designated to be used or uses to krovet avodah zarah, and nevad means that it was worshipped. The problem you have here is, ein adam usir davar she'enu shelo. If you use the same answer used by Roveya Benir Ba, a person cannot restrict something that does not belong to him. If you're Makdish, the animal doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to Hekdesh. And when it belongs to Hekdesh, you don't have a right to change the status of the animal or to ruin the animal. Well, you'll say to me, what about Roveya Benir Ba? That was also you ruined the animal of Hekdesh and it wasn't yours. Over there, there was a maaseh. There was an action performed on the animal. When there's a maaseh performed on the animal, everybody agrees that then you can have an impact on the animal. Question is, when you do something that is not a maaseh, an action on the animal itself, then you create an iser when it's not yours. So again, roveya v'nir ba, where you have the capacity to do a maaseh on the animal, and the maaseh is what makes it asur, over there, even though it's not yours, you can make it asur. Muksa v'nevad, you can't have that impact because there is no maaseh done to the animal itself. Now, there is, and we've discussed this tomorrow in Avodah Zarah, there is a possibility by ne'evad, if you have a maaseh, then you may be able to impact your friend's beima. And therefore, over here by ne'evad, you can have a situation in which, even if it is kodoshim, you can have an impact on it if you do a maaseh to make it ne'evad. And there are even those that suggest you don't even need a maaseh to make it or classify it as ne'evad. when it comes to an Iser Gevoah, then if that's the case, then over here you don't need any additional explanation as to how you had a case that it was Ra'oi and it was Hekdesh, and then it was disqualified afterwards. Either it was Nevad Ayudei Maaseh, according to those that said that even when it's not Nevad Ayudei Maaseh, it's Asur Gevoah, that could have been the explanation over here. Our Gemara clearly does not take up against that viewpoint that if there's no Maaseh, that it is Asur Gevoah. And even despite the fact that our Gemara could have answered that for Nevad, it can't answer that for Mukseh. And everybody has to come up with a solution for Mukseh, and that solution for Mukseh will also work for Nevad. Again, if a Maaseh is not to the animal, that by Nevad you could come up with a scenario or a similar scenario. But with regards to Mukseh, for sure, there is no Maaseh that's being done. And despite that fact, we are saying that they are subject to this pasuk over here. And if that's the case, how do you have a case where it was Hekdesh beforehand, and then something changed afterwards? So that's what the Gemara says over here. Ein adam usir davar shenu shelo. The Gemara's answer is, "Bekodshim kalim valibid Rabbi Yosi Aglili." That this is speaking about kodshim kalim, according to Rabbi Yosi Aglili, who believes damar kodshim kalim amon balimhu. When it comes to kodshim kalim, they don't belong to Hekdesh; they belong to the owners. They retain ownership over the animal by kodshim kalim, and that's based on the pasuk that is found by Esham Gzelot, the Tanya, where it says, "Umala mal b'Hashem." Lirabot, to include kodshim kalim. The pasuk says, umala mal b'Hashem b'kichesh b'amito. So in order to be chayav for an Hashem gzelot, you have to have a denial of a monetary obligation, and then afterwards admit to that monetary obligation. So here, you have a scenario in which, if kodshim kalim are owed, for whatever reason, to someone, and then you deny the fact that you owe them that, and you take a shvuah to that effect, then you admit to it. So the Chachamim say that Kodshim Kalim are Hekdesh, and Hekdesh isn't subject to this because it's not yours. So you can't have Hashem Gzelot. On the other hand, Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, the Pasuk says, Umala Mal B'Hashem, B'Kichesh B'Amito. And so there, the way he darshans it is something that belongs to Hashem, but also is Kichesh B'Amito. That's a case of Kodshim Kalim. And that's what Rabbi Yosi Aglili says, that Kodshim Kalim are really Mamon Balim. It's partly L'Hashem, partly Amito. And for that reason, Kodshim Kalim are considered to be Mamon Balim. Now, once Kodshim Kalim are considered to be Mamon Balim, Hilkach, for that reason, Roveh V'Nirba, the reason that Roveh V'Nirba over here are not captured by El Peh Tachol Moed Lo Hevi'o is because Dvar Erva. When it comes to Dvar Erva, you can impact the animal, Ki Mashkatam Bahem, that there was Hashkata that was done with the animal, and that Hashkata now changed its status to be something that is no longer Ra'ur the Mizbeach, even though it happened after the Hekdesh was done. And Mukseh Nevad, Avodat Kochavim B'Kodshim Kalim. You're going to set it up as a case of Avodah Zarah, which is also a type of Hashkata, but particularly with Kodshim Kalim, according to Yosef Lili, that says it's Mamon Balim. And for that reason, you can have impact on the animal even after it was Kodesh. So there was a period in time in which it was Ra'oi Lavo L'Petach Omoy. That was when you were first Makdishit. Then afterwards, when it's Nevad, or it's Mukseh, at that point in time, it's still Mamon Balim, and they can have impact on the animal, on the status of the animal, and they would change that status of the animal to be something that is not Ra'oi L'Mizbeach. So again, it's not captured Vel Petach Omoed Lo Hevi'o, because this is something that could have been brought to Petach Omoed, and that's why you need the remainder of the Pasuk to teach you. That's what the Mishnah quotes, L'akrib Korban Hashem Lifnei Mishkan Hashem. The problem is that there are a couple of other items listed there, which aren't so easy to understand, which is Etnan Zona, Mechir Kelev, Kilayim, and Yotzei Dofen. All of those are items that are impactful on the animal before it was Hekdesh, or they cannot impact the animal if it is Hekdesh. But Kilayim and Yotzei Dofen, that's a congenital item. So that happened already at the birth of the animal. So there's no way you can be Makdish the animal before it was born. Instead, you can't be Makdish before it's born. If it's born with these problems, any Hekdesh you do is post the problem. So there was never a time where it was Ra'oi L'Petach Omoy. V'etnan Zonah and Mechir Kelev, the Gemara in Tmura, has a specific miut that says, even by Kodshim Kalim, even if you believe according to Rabbi Yosef Lili, Etnan Zonah and Mechir Kelev do not have an impact on those items. And that means, even if you use that same answer you used before of Kodshim Kalim, which is Mamon Balim, that's not going to help you solve the problem of Etnan Zonah and Mechir Kelev come up with a scenario in which it was first Kodesh and Ra'oi L'Mizbeach, and then afterwards the status changed. The only way you can create Etnan Zonah Mechir Kelev is if it's involved with something that is Chulin Legamre. But if it has any sense of Kodoshim, then that can't be impactful. So now, How do we explain that case that was Ro'oy LePetach U'Moed? So the Gemara answers, those who have to say B'Vladot Kodoshim. It's talking about when it's a child. It is the offspring of something that is Kodesh. Kasavar, and they believe, Vladei Kodoshim B'Aviyatanin Kodoshim. That a Vlad of Hekdesh, an offspring of an animal that is Hekdesh, is only becomes Kodesh at the moment of birth. So this is a machloket, which we will get to later on in Seder Kodoshim, which is, when does the kedusha of the parent, of the mother, convey to the child, to the offspring? So one day is b'me'iman, immediately. Immediately upon conception, the new in utero fetus that is there takes on the status of the mother, and the hekdesh happens immediately. So once again, if you believe that's the case, then you can't come up with a scenario which the hekdesh happens immediately. And since the hekdesh happened immediately, there's no way for you to do etnan zonah or mechir gelev after that point in time. It was always ro'oy lemizbeach, and there's no way you can change that status. And again, if they are kilayim and yotzei dofen, then from the moment of their conception, it was already problematic. On the other hand, if you believe, and this is the other daya, that the fetus only becomes kodesh when it is born, that means when it's in utero, it doesn't have a status of hekdesh. In essence, it's chulin. So now, if you have something in utero that's chulin, then if you're a makriv, the mother, the baby goes along with the mother because it's yerechimo, ubar yerechimo, it's an extension of the mother. So the truth is, it is ra'oy lepetach ha'moed, agav, the mother. So there is a period of time in utero when it is ra'oy lepetach ha'moed, agav, imo. But then at the moment of birth, that's when the hekdesh happens. So what this individual does is, he declares it etnan zonah, or mechir kelev, while it's still in utero. He gives the zonah, in exchange for her services, the in utero baby that is this hekdesh's offspring, while it's still in utero, and he grants it. It's chulin now. He has the capacity to do that. Then, after it's born, it would become hekdesh. But there was a period of time before he made it into etnan zonah, where it was kosher lemizbeach, and it was ra'oy lepetach ha'moed, because it would have been brought in the mizbeach, agavimo. Even though technically by itself it's chulin, but as long as it's attached to the mother, it has the status of the mother to be dragged along with the mother. So now we came up with a scenario where, while it's in utero with the mother, agavimo, it's yarachimo. It's just another limb of the mother. And the mother's ra'oy lepetach ha'moed, and the fetus is also ra'oy lepetach ha'moed. So then, during that period of time, making it into a mechir, kelep, or a etnan zonah, so you're able to maybe effective, because it's still chulin, the animal there. And then when it's born, it would become kodesh. So that's the scenario in which you can have it ro'oy lepetach ha'moed, and then become disqualified after that point in time. So given that, now we have a scenario also here, whereby the hekdesh existed, agav iman, which made them ro'oy lepetach ha'moed. They themselves are chulin, so you can still have the impact of etnan zonah and mechir kelev. And then, when they're born, they would become Kodesh. Tosafot has a little issue with that, which is that we find in other places in Shas, that the one who believes that Bahaviyatan Hein Kedoshin is only impactful when the item is Ra'oy LaHakrava, which means that they only become Hekdesh afterwards, but once they are Ra'oy LaHakrava. That means now you're going to run into a difficulty. You have them Ra'oy LaPetach Ha'omer Agaviman, then you disqualify them by making them into Mechir Kelev Etnan Zonah. Once you do that, when they're born, they weren't Ro'oy LaHakrava. They never been Kodesh. If they don't become Kodesh, they're Chulin. And Chulin, obviously, does not have a Chiyuv of Hakrava Bachutz, Ala Bachutz, Shechita Bachutz, because they are Chulin. You have to be Kodeshim in order to do that. Tosfot says, well, then how do they become Kodesh afterwards to have the Isur associated with them? So Tosfot over here reinterprets what the Gemara means. That's only something that's Kashir LaHakrava is Kodosh. Bekdushat mizbeach, he says the following: V'yesh lomar, d'hamar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, ein kedusha chal aleihem, haynu kedushat aguf. That is that you can't have kedushat aguf, the inherent kedusha, affect them when they are not ro'oy lehakrava, le'esor begiza v'avuda, to have them the full status of what's called psulei hamukdashim. Aval kedushat damim ika. They do have monetary value that's associated with kedusha, lipadot shelo b'mum, and that they would be able to be redeemed even if they don't get a mum. Lakach bai haikra. That's why you need the pasuk. Delo mimate mipetach ha'moed, because they're not automatically excluded from petach ha'moed. Ki kodshei berek habayit, similar to kodshei berek habayit. Uleman damar b'meimane kedoshin, and that's differentiated from the one who says that b'meimane they are kedoshim. afilu kdushat haguf nachta alayhu. That's because they get full-fledged kdusha of kdushat haguf, ditafsitinu kdusha de'ime, because their mother's kdusha takes full hold of them. So Tosafot emends slightly what our understanding here of what it means, that when kodoshim, babiatan hein kodoshim, and that's only true when it's roi lakrava, that's against kdushat haguf, when it's roi lakrava. But even it's not like roi lakrava, like mechir kelev and etnan zonah, it still attains a level of kedusha, which is impactful in the sense that now you have to redeem it. You can redeem it without a mum, but it still has kedusha tamim. And that kedusha tamim gives it enough kedusha that it was once ra'u the petach homoy, and now is kadosh. And since it's kadosh now, if you're makrivet bachutz, or you're shochetet bachutz, you're going to be chayav for it. Alright, so then the Mishnah continued and brought down three scenarios where the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon argued. Rabbi Shimon in each instance said that something that is ra'oi la'achar zman, that's enough to be considered that it is ra'oi la'petach o'moed. And for that reason, if you're maleh b'chutz, even though right now it's mechusar zman, you're going to be chayav for the halah b'chutz or the shechita b'chutz. So the Gemara's question is, why do you have to bring down three different scenarios in which we have this machloki between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon? Fitzrichei, we need all three examples. Ditana balei mumim. The first example was the difference between a bal mum kavua, which is a permanent blemish, and a bal mum over, a temporary blemish. According to the Chachamim, both of those are disqualified because of el petach omeod lo ivio, and therefore you're not going to be chayav for ala b'chutz or shchita b'chutz because they're not ra'u the petach omeod. Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, said that's true by mum kavua, because that never will be ra'u the petach omeod. But a mum over, since it will be ra'u the petach omeod, that's enough to be considered el petach omeod lo ivio. And if you're maleh b'chutz, you're going to be chayav. So he brought that case. Because if he only brought that case, mishum demi'ise, because they are disgusting. They are things that are inappropriate to put on the mizbeach. And therefore, the chachamim in that case believe that mechusar zman is enough to disqualify them completely. Aval torin, when the case of the torin, which is the next case in the Mishnah, which is these underage birds, the torin, that have yet to age to the point where they are ra'oi the mizbeach, or the b'nei yonah, they went past the age when they are ra'oi. So there, the chachamim said in both those instances, they are not ra'oi the petach omoed, and therefore there's no chiyuv ala b'chutz. Rabbi Shimon said, you're right by b'nei yonah, that had graduated out. But torin, that were too young, they're just mechusar zman, and they eventually will become ksherim, and that's already considered to be al petach omoed lo ivio. And therefore you're going to be chayav for malaya or shchita b'chutz. So aval torim, delomi isay, there it's not something that's disqualified because of its inappropriateness for bringing it. Ema, demodule the Rabbi Shimon. Maybe the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Shimon there and say, mechusar zman, consider enough of being ra'ur le petach omoed. Because the psul of ba'amom is something that is an inherent problem in the be'ema. Time will rectify it, but it's still an inherent psul. As opposed to the case of Torim, where the whole problem is time. And if the time just elapses, then it would be kasher. So maybe over there, there's reason to believe that the Chachamim would agree to Rabbi Shimon that Mechusar Zman is considered to be roi the petach omoed, because that's all it takes is an elapsement of time. Whereas by the Mumover, there's something that is disqualifying the animal besides Zman. Zman will help to rectify it, but there is a disqualification. Maybe it's like any other disqualification that will not be considered to be ra'oi the petach omoed. Vitana torin. If you only spoke about torin, which are the underage birds, mishum delo chazu ve'idche. The reason is because they were never ri'uyim, and then they were pushed off. Aval bebalei mumim de'ichzu ve'idchu. They were once ri'uyim, and then they got disqualified. Eimer demodilohu Rabbi Shimon Rabbanan. Maybe over there Rabbi Shimon agreed with Rabbanan. Maybe Rabbi Shimon only says mechusar zman is enough to be classified as ra'oi lepetach omoed. That's when the item was always mechusar zman, and we're just waiting for that time to expire, like by the torin, where they're underage, and eventually they will graduate to that age. On the other hand, when the baal mum over, the animal was once kasher, and then it was nitched because of the mum, and then you're saying now the mechusar zman means that, oh, that eventually will come back. But it was once ra'oi. And maybe the fact that it was once ra'oi and then pushed out is a significant enough item to disqualify it, even though it may return in the future because of mechusar zman. And maybe then Rabbi Shimon would agree to the position of the Chachamim in that instance. V'itana hanitarte, had you written both of these cases in the Mishnah, then mishom de psula de gufayu. That's because they have an inherent psul. The torim are underage. The ba'mom has a blemish in it. Aval oto ve'et beno, which is the third case, where you've shechted the parent on that day, and now you want to shecht the child or vice versa, there's a restriction against oto ve'et beno. If you wait till tomorrow, you can bring it, it'll be a kosher korban. So now, oto ve'et beno is blocking you from the capacity or the ability to do this korban. Rabbi Shimon calls that mechuser zman. And therefore, it is considered to be roi lepetach umoy, and if you do alav achut, you're going to be chayav. So I would have thought that maybe, if you only told me about Turin, and you only told me about Balmum, over there where they are psul beguf, that's where the Chachamim say mechuser zman is not a factor. Aval, oto ve'beno, the psul ma'almakate, the psul of oto ve'beno, which is an exogenous psul, it's not an inherent psul, Ema modulei Rabbanan and the Rabbi Shimon. Maybe the Rabbanan would agree that mechuser zman is considered to be roi petach umoy, because that's the only problem here is mechuser zman. Tzricha, and that's why we need all three cases. So that's what the Gemara creates in Tzrichuta to explain to us why all three of these are important for us to understand the machlok between the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, because each one of them has an aspect to it that might have you ascribe the reason that either Rabbi Shimon or Chachamim have the position in that case is because of that unique feature. And that means that the other items, maybe they would agree to their Baal Plukta. Now, that's the Girsa that we have. If you look in the Pali at Tosafot, they ask a question which leads you to believe that the Girsa at the end of the Gemara was a little different, which was that it said, Ema modilei Rabbi Shimon l'Rabbonon, that the Rabbi Shimon would agree to the Rabbonon in that case. And the Pali at Tosafot are perplexed by that because we have a general principle that Psul Beguf is more chamur than a Psul Shalom Begufo. And over here, what the Gemara is suggesting is the first two cases are psula guf. The last case is not psula guf. And you have the opposite girsa, which seems to be the girsa that the Baal Tosafot have. It means, oh, because it doesn't have a psula guf, then maybe Rabbi Shimon will agree they're abundant and it should be pasul over here. Why would he think it's pasul over here? This is a lighter form of psul. So the Baal Tosafot say that goes against everything we know in Chas, that psula guf is more chamur. And over here you're telling me that psula guf is more kal. So the answer, it's a very interesting answer. It seems to me they're doing it mitocha tochak because of the girsa. But the answer that the psula guf, which normally is more chamor, over here it means that the birds and the balmum, their tikkun, or their rectification, can be technically accelerated. If for whatever reason the birds, the torim, reach that level of maturity immediately, they become kasher immediately. If the balmum, the mum cleared up all of a sudden, it would free them of the problem, and they'd be ra'oy immediately. On the other hand, when it comes to oto ve'et beno, there's no way to accelerate it. It is all the time issue, and therefore, the only way to get over the time issue is to wait. So that's what he says, maybe it's the chumrah about oto ve'et beno, is that there's no way to accelerate it. The case of Balmum and the case of Torin, it is a time-based problem, but it's time that allows for the problem to be solved. But it's not because time elapsed that the problem is solved. So, because of that, maybe there's a way to accelerate, or maybe it could be technically accelerated, and that's why he says here it's a kula. Very interesting Tosafot, trying to explain what seems to be the opposite girsa that they had over here. Now, Gemara says, Shaya Rabbi Shimon Omer. So what the Mishnah concludes is that Rabbi Shimon says that anything is kol shemechuser zman is chayav belotase. Although, even though it's chayav lotase, ain't bo karet. It doesn't have karet. And the Chachamim disagree and say, kol sheyesh lo lotase yesh bo karet, or kol sheyesh bo karet yesh lo lotase. Rabbi Shimon seems to say that there's a different lotase that covers this situation, and the Chachamim disagree. They only have one lotase. The lotase they have is correlated with the halah b'chutz or shchita b'chutz. And if you violate that, you have a chiyuv karet. Rabbi Shimon says, chiyuv karet of achrimot is its own category. I have another lotase that says if you're mechuser zman, that you're already considered to be ra'oy lepetach umoed, and you're going to be chayav for ala b'chutz. Gemara wants to know my time with the Rabbi Shimon. Where does Rabbi Shimon get this lotase from? What's his reasoning? So Amar Rabbi Yula, Amar Eish Lakish. The Amakra, Pasuk says, it's this week's Parsha, Parshat Re'eh. It's interesting that the remainder of the Masechta, most of it's going to deal with the Psukim in Parshat Re'eh. It turns out to be topically relevant that from here to the end of the Masechta, we're going to be quoting Psukim from Parshat Re'eh. The Torah tells you that you have to eat all these korbanot, all these items, Lifnei Hashem, but Makom Asher Yivchav Hashem. But then the pasuk exhorts in Dvarim Yud Bet, pasuk Chet, Lo Tasun Kechol Asher Anachnu Osim Po Hayom. Don't do what we're doing here today. Ish Kol Yasher Be'enav. Everybody does what they want to do now. Ki Lo Vatem Adata El Menucha Ve'al Nachala. Because you have yet to reach the Menucha and the Nachala. Asher Hashem Elokecha Noten Lach. That Hashem is giving to you. So as we already noted in the Mishnah, Menucha is Shiloh. Nachala is Yerushalayim. And it's saying, don't do what we're doing here today, because kilovate marata. You have yet to reach Shiloh and Beit Olamim. So what we're doing in the Mishkan is permitted in Shiloh. What we're doing in the Mishkan is permitted in Beit Olamim. But that means that if you don't have that, then you can't do it. And the way the Gemara interprets the pasuk is, Lo tasun kechol asher anachnu osim po hayom. You cannot do what we're doing here today, which is to bring korbanot chuvah, bring obligatory korbanot, to bring chataot, hashamot, those korbanot that we bring here today in the Mishkan. You cannot do that. Ish kol yashar be'enav. What you can bring is ish kol yashar be'enav. Those things you want to bring on a voluntary basis. That is an ola and a shlamim. Kosh nidar v'nidav. So what it's saying is that when you're in the zman habamot or heter habamot, you cannot bring korbanot chuvah. You can bring korbanot nidava. That lasts until el menucha v'nachala, until you reach Shiloh, which once again, then there's a central location and you can bring those korbanot. Or the time of Nachala, which is Yerushalayim, that also is a time where you can bring these korbanot. So Rish Lakish says that's the source for Rabbi Shimon's position. He says, Damakra, lo tasun kol asher anachnu osim po hayom. Amaluhu Moshe l'Israel, ki alitu la'aretz, when you go into the land of Israel, yisharot takrivo, chovot lo takrivo. You can bring korbanot that are yashar, that's what we said before, which are voluntary offerings. Chovot, obligatory offerings you can't bring. V'gilgal l'gabei shilo mechusar zmanu. And during the time of Gilgal, you have mechusar zman. Because the problem is, currently, you can't bring these animals onto the Mizbeach currently, because they are chovah. And chovot are disqualified by this lav. Now the truth is that they are qualified to be brought to Ol Moed, you just have to wait. If you wait long enough, there will be a Mishkan Shiloh. And once there's a Mishkan Shiloh, these korbanot are re'uyot to be brought lifnei Ol Moed or El Petach Ol Moed. Rekamer lo Moshe lo tasun. So here you have something that's mechusar zman. It's time of the Gilgal, where there's a bamata tzibur, and despite the fact that there's a badamet tzibur, Moshe Rabbeinu says you're not allowed to bring chovot, personal chovot. And even though in the future, these will be re'uyot, because you'll be able to bring them in Mishkan Shiloh. So what you see from this is that the Torah prescribes a lav, because these are mechusar zman, it prescribes a lav for them. Moshe tells them, lo tasun. You're not allowed to do what we do here, which is to makriv these korbanot wherever you feel like it. And so, you can't do that on a bamat, a tzibur, or on a bamat, hayachid. Amar Rabbi Yirmi, Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmi says to Rabbi Zeira, yihochi. If that's the reasoning behind Rabbi Shimon's position, that which Reish Lakish says, then milkei nami loki, you should get malkot. Alama, amar Rabbi Zeira, how can you say that that's the case? Why did Rabbi Zeira say, akatuv nitko le'aseh? The pasuk made it into an aseh. So now, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that if you have something that is disqualified, something that should not be put on the Mizbeach, and you do that, you're in violation of a lav. That lav is a derivative of a pasuk that is found in Parshat Emor. In Parshat Emor, with regards to the psulim of blemishes, mumim, it says, v'shor v'seh, sarua v'kalut, nidavata seoto, uleneder lo yiratzeh. That it will not be classified or not accepted as a neder, as a korban. So that pasuk of lo yiratzeh, the Gemara learns about that, shekol psulim, shebeshor ubeseh, shehein belo yiratzeh. Any psul that is associated with a shor seh has a lav associated, which is lo yiratzeh. It will not be accepted. So now, what Rabbi Zeira says is, you're not chayav for that, because nitko laseh. It is an itak laseh. Now, Rashi, not here, but Rashi in Chulin explains this like a classic case of nitko laseh. Lav anitak lase, which means you have a lotase, and a lotase with a rectification, a way to fix it. The rectification here is the continuation of the psukim there, which says that it says, shor b'seh saruv akalut nedavah tase oto, uleneder lo yiratzeh. And then it has a list of other psulim, and then it says, kap psukim later, in chav zayin, shor okesev o eiz ki valeit, vayashivad yamim tachanimo, umiyom hashmini vahala yiratzeh lu korbani shel Hashem. So that is what's called nitzkol aseh. There's a mitzvah aseh, which is, after the 8th day, yeiratzeh. it will be ra'oi. It will be properly placed on his back. So that yiratzeh is the aseh as opposed to the lotaseh of lo yiratzeh. That's how Rashi learns it in Chulin. And he claims that it's a really a classic lavanitak le'aseh. Since a lav anitak taseh, you're not going to get malkot for it. Tosfot says that explanation is faulty, because then why don't you say the same thing with regards to lotas sun kain l'ashem elokeichem? That lav that was brought according to Rabbi Shimon in the sheet of Reish Lakish, that lav aloti sain kain l'ashem elokeichem should also be nitak taseh, because you have the aseh of yeretzeh. Tosfot says, maybe you want to suggest here that what the Gemara is saying is that you have two lavin and one assay. If you have two lavin and one assay, the two lavin can't be captured or made into a lav nitak assay because of the assay. Tosafot says that's not true. He says there's one exception in Shas where we say that if you have two lavin, one assay can't cover it. That's only because the Torah brought them adjacent to each other, juxtaposed to each other, brought two lavin and then an assay to tell you over there that the assay can't cover both lavin. But he says in general, if you have two lavin, one assay can cover it, and that means that assay will make them all into a lav anitak assay. She says that explanation of Rashi is problematic. Rather, the right way to explain it is the way Rashi explains it here, and the way the Baal Tosafot explained it over here, which is what's the lav anitak assay over here. It's not literally that it's a lav that now can be rectified through an assay, but rather you have a general principle. The general principle is anything that is by shor v'seh saruah v'kalud nidavat seotolah neder lo yiratzeh. And that's that general principle that kol psulim b'kodesh. Anything that's psulim kodesh is covered by this lav and will be subject to this lav. What the assay comes along to teach you is this is outside of that realm. This is an exception to that. If the Torah doesn't speak to that particular problem, then that problem is automatically covered by lo yiratzeh, and there's a lav associated with it. But if the Torah goes out of its way to specify that this is different, then it's nitak. Nitak over here means it removed it from the generic lav of lo yiratzeh. That's what it means, nitak the assay. When the Torah came along and gave you the assay of umiyom ha-shmini v'hala yiratzeh l'kurbani shel Hashem, that's telling you that Mechusar Zman is not captured by the din of Lo Yiratzeh. So that's what it means, Nitko Laseh. So now, Rabbi Zeir's comment is made in the Gemara and Chulin in the context of the Gemara's question as to why, when you have a case of Otoved Beno, if you bring the second of the pair as a Kurban on that day, why are you only Chayav for the Isur of Otoved Beno? Why aren't you also Chayav for a violation of Mechusar Zman? And the Mechusar Zman that we're speaking about here is Lo Yiratzeh. The answer to that question is what Rabbi Zeir suggests over here, which is Akatuv Nitko Laseh. So you see, with regards to Mechusar Zman, that there is no Malkot associated with them because Nitko Laseh. But according to Reish Lakish's explanation, Rabbi Shimon, there's a totally different lav that is brought over here, and that lav should make you chayav for being Mechusar Zman, whether it's Bifnim, whether it's Bachutz, period, because it's Mechusar Zman. If that's the case, why isn't there another set of Malkot independent of your normal Mechusar Zman? Now I have a lav that's associated with bringing korbanot on the Mizbeach in the Gilgal. And you don't even need hakravah b'chutz. It's not about bringing the korban outside of the Mikdash. It's bringing the korban, period. What Moshe Rabbeinu says to them is, oh, you're bringing korbanot chovah now in the Mishkan? You can't bring those personal korbanot chovot in Gilgal, no matter what. Doesn't matter on a b'mat ha'yichid, doesn't matter on a b'mat ha'tzibur. You're disqualified from bringing them. Now, if you claim that lotasun ken l'shem l'chechem is a lav, and you're going to get malkot for it, then you should get malkot. Forget about if you do it on a b'mata yachid, michutz. Even if you do it on the mizbech of the b'mata tzibur, you're going to be chayav. Because Moshe Rabbeinu says there's no place for chovot during the time of Gilgal. So that's the nature of the Gemara's question. Rabbi Zeir is speaking about a case of oto be'et bedo bifnim. So it's a case of mechusar zman bifnim. And over there he says that there is no malkot for such a situation. But now, according to Reish Lakish's explanation in Rabbi Shimon, it makes no difference, bifnim o bechutz. If there's a problem with Mechusar Zman, you're under the rubric of Lota Sein Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem. Therefore, there should be a lav, even bifnim. So how do we reconcile that with that statement of Rabbi Zeira? Gemara's answer over there is, Animili l'Rabbonon. That's according to the Rabbonon Shita, who believe that anything that was karev in the Midbar could be karev ala b'mat ha'tzibur b'Gilgal. And if that's the case, there's no issue of Mechusar Zman, of Lota Sun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem, is not a reference to those things that are brought on the B'mat Tzibur. Lota Sun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem is only a reference to a B'mat Yachid, which there it's not allowed to be brought, that which we do in the Mishkan. In that case, the Pasuk's not speaking about an issue of Mechusar Zman at all. And that's why, according to Rabbi Zeira, there is no love over here because Nitkola Atzeh, because the only love that would be relevant is Lo Yiratzeh, and that we've already taken care of. The love of Lo Tusum Ken Hashem Lekechem is not relevant to this case over here. And that's why Rabbi Yitzhak didn't speak to that issue. Aval, according to Rabbi Shimon Ochanami, you're right. According to Rabbi Shimon and Ochanami, since he does have that love, it would be Malkot. Yes, the Lo Yiratzeh is Nitkol Atzeh, and it's not Chayav Malkot. But the Lo Tasun Kein Shlam Akechem will result in Malkot. So the statement of Rabbi Zero is made in the Shita of the Rabbonon, who disagree with the interpretation of Rabbi Shimon of the Pasuk Lo Tasun Kein Lashem Akechem, which is Rabbi Huda's Shita later on in the Perek. And that will be who Rabbi Zer was saying it in that position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Nachum Yitzchak Amar, Pnim de Gilgal, the Gabe Shiloh Kuchutz Dami, internally in the Gilgal, it is similar to the Chutz in Shiloh. Rav Nachum Yitzchak says that Rabbi Zer's statement could even be according to Rabbi Shimon, and that's because when it comes to the Gilgal, Gilgal doesn't really have a Bifnim. It's really, everything is classified as bachut, according to Rabbi Shimon, because there's nothing that's ra'ui for the bamata tzibur that's not ra'ui on the bamata yachid, at least with regards to korbanot ha-yachid. And for that reason, everything is classified as chutz. And therefore, the din of lo tasun ken l'shem l'kechem is only relevant for mechusar zman bachutz. But Rabbi Zeru was speaking about mechusar zman bifnim. And that's why he doesn't address the lav that Rabbi Shimon brings. Rabba Amar, tamed Rabbi Shimon, Rabbah offers a totally different reasoning for Rabbi Shimon's position. Kedetanya Rabbi Shimon Omer, Minayin Zuveach Pesach Bebamat Yachid, Beshat Yisur Abamot, Shalu Balot Aseh. How do I know if you bring a Korban of Pesach, Beshat Yisur Abamot, it's the time when Bamot are Asurot, for instance, in the time of Shiloh, or the time of Beit Olamim, the time of the Beit HaMikdash. So how do I know if you bring a Pesach, Bebamat Yachid, Beshat Yisur Abamot, Shalu Balot Aseh, Tamal Omar, Lo Tuchal Lizboach Et HaPesach, you're not allowed to bring the Pesach. Yochol af b'shat heter abamot. Kain. You would think maybe that's also true by shat heter abamot. Tamalomar be'achad she'arecha. But you're not allowed to bring the Pesach in one of your locales. Lo amarti lechal b'shat she'kol yisho nechtasim b'shar echad. They dash from that b'chol she'arecha means when all clients will enter a single gate, then there's a restriction against lo tuchal lizboch et ha'Pesach. That you're not allowed to put the Pesach on a bama anywhere. Eimat. When is this true? In eima achar chatzot. If you're talking about afternoon on Erev Pesach, when the Zman you're supposed to bring the Korban of Pesach, Karet Nami Michayev. There, forget about being Chayev for a Lotus, eh? You're going to be Chayev Karet. That's your classic case of Shechita Bachutz and Allah Bachutz. It's something that was supposed to be brought in the Olam Moed, something that the Korban of Pesach is the Zman that it's Ra'oi LePetach Olam Moed, and instead of doing that, you did it outside on a Bama. That means that you did it Bala Bachutz, in a time period when it could have been brought, the Ol Moed. That's the classic cases of the Psukim and Achimot. You're going to be Chayav Karet, not just a Lo Taseh. El Alav Kodim Chatzot. So what's the scenario here? It was before Chatzot. Before Chatzot, it's not Ro'oi, the Petach Ol Moed. Despite the fact that it's not Ro'oi, the Petach Ol Moed, there's still a Lav associated with it, which says, Lo Tuchalev Lizbach Et HaPesach B'Chacharecha. You're not allowed to be Makriv, the Pesach, in one of your gateways, meaning outside of the central location. You can't do this on the Bamot. So why is there a restriction against Halab HaChutz if it's not Ro'oi the Petach Ol Moed? You see from this that something that is Mechusar Zman is still Chayav for a Lo Taseh. The Mechusar Zman is if you just wait, the Korban Pesach is Ro'oi the Petach Ol Moed after Chatzot. So before Chatzot, you're still going to be Chayav Halav, you're not going to be Chayav Karet. And the Lav is Lo Tuchal Zboach Et HaPasach. So now whether this has broader application, meaning that the Gemara here is suggesting that this applies to all Kodoshim. Pesach is just an example. Or does this mean this is uniquely associated with the Pesach? And this whole din revolves around the Pesach and not other Korbanot. So that's a machloket here within the Rishonim as to which is the case. Gemara says, Lo'olam l'char chatzot. The scenario here is a case where it was after chatzot. They could have brought it into the Mikdash. And instead, they put it on a bama, bachutz. U'bashat heter bamot koi. And it was talking about a case of Heter Abamot. It's talking about the time of Gilgal, or the time of Nov Givon, where there is Heter Abamot. Va, Bishat Yisur Abamot Kamar. What do you mean? It doesn't say Shat Heter Abamot, it says time about the time that Shat Yisur Abamot. So now, if you're Bishat Yisur Abamot, the problem after Chatzot is, that it's ra'oy lepetach ol mo'ed. If you do ala b'chutz, you chayav karet. So the rabbi said, no, no, it's shat etter abamot. But shat etter abamot, even after chatzot, it's not ra'oy lepetach ol mo'ed, because there is no petach ol mo'ed. So then, if you do ala b'chutz, then you're not going to be chayav karet for that, because it wasn't something that was ra'oy lepetach ol mo'ed. But then, you're still chayav alotase, which we said before, lo tuchal lisboch et ha'pasach. Then there's no problem of ala b'chutz, but there's a lotase. And that's what we're speaking about. That's the scenario that we're speaking about. And then you can't prove anything about mechusar zman. B'avashad yisar b'mot kamar. Where it says, how can you make that the explanation? The statement says, b'shat yisar ha'b'mot. And now you're telling me, no, it doesn't mean yisar ha'b'mot, b'shat heter ha'b'mot. Tell me something exact opposite of how the case was set up. Yisar b'malo, heter b'mal chaveiro. So they re-explain now what it means. Yisar ha'b'mot and heter ha'b'mot over here is a reference to when other items are mutarim, and it is asur. So yes, it's man isur b'mot. There's an isur b'ma for the korban ha'pesach. This korban ha'pesach needs to be brought to the b'mat tzibur, and therefore there's an isur halah b'chutz. But the other korbanot, heter b'mot. So it's man heter b'mot. It happens to be that there's an isur b'ma for the pesach. And that's what it means, isur b'mot, because it's asur for the korban ha'pesach to be brought on a b'ma. At that time it needs to be brought to the b'mata tzibur. Since it has to be brought to the b'mata tzibur, that's why your chayav, the lotase, when you bring it on a b'ma at that time. And the tshat heter b'mot is prior to chatzot. Prior to chatzot, both the korban ha'pesach and other korbanot are mutarim to be brought on a b'mata yachid. Korban ha'pesach is because before chatzot, it can be made into a shlamim. And the other korbanot, it's heter b'mot, so you can bring it on a b'ma, and you won't be in violation of anything. But now we're not dealing with the case of mechusar zman. It's a case of regular halah b'chutz, and that halah b'chutz doesn't have application over here because it is shat heter ha'b'mot, but the problem here is that it's after chatzot when you're supposed to bring it on a b'mata tzibur, and instead you're bringing it on a b'mata yachid. So Rashi seems to indicate that this is a broader lav for any korban chuva that should have been brought on a b'mata tzibur, that you brought on a b'mata yachid, that you'd be chayav for this lotaseh. On the other hand, the Rambam reads the Pashtuta Gemara as saying that it's a reference to the korban ha'pesach. The regards of korban ha'pesach, if you don't bring the b'mata tzibur, but rather on the b'mata yachid, you're going to be chayav for this lotaseh. But other korbanot chovah that you bring on the b'mat ha'yachid, when it should have been brought in the b'mat ha'tzibur, we saw in the Mishnah before, things that are brought, b'shat heter b'mot, even though they were supposed to be brought in the b'mat ha'tzibur, brought in the b'mat ha'yachid, you are patur from, because during zman heter b'mot, there's no iser of chutz, and therefore you are patur. So Rambam sees this as uniquely associated with the korban ha'pesach, whereas Rashi expands it to include all korbanot chovah. So now the Gemara continues and says, mechusar zman. So then it gives a list of ba'alim that are mechusar zman, and the examples it brings are zavzava and yoledet. So zavzava and yoledet are the examples of ba'alim that are mechusar zman. They have to wait for the ruim to bring their korban. And then the Mishnah says, sheikrivu chatatam v'ashamam b'chutz. And then it says, olotehem v'shamehem. And as we noted in the Mishnah, a zav, a zava, and a yoledet don't ever have a korban asham. And don't ever have a korban shlamim. So that's what the Gemara is saying over here. Baha b'nei asham. Oh, you know? Since when do these korbanot have an asham associated with them? My answer is amraziri tnei. And into the Mishnah, mitzoraba adayu. In the list of those items, don't just say zav zava and you'll let it. Add in the word mitzora to them. Olotem v'shalmeim. It's the next line of Mishnah. We said there by the chataot and ashamot. If they're done b'chutz, you are patur because they're not roi lepetach ol mo'ed. Then if you do the olot and the shlamim b'chutz, you are chayav v'ala b'chutz, because they are ruim in the petach ha'mo'ed, because they can be brought as voluntary offerings. Mishnah says, olotehem v'shalmehem, again, zav, zava, and you let it, and mitzorah don't have a shlamim associated with them. V'hani b'nei shlamim ninu, amrav sheshet, t'nei nazir. You should amend the Mishnah to include in the list nazir as well. Because the nazir has a olah, chatat, and shlamim that brought at the time of the termination of the nazirut. Gemara says, to Ziri Kavua Tanae, Ziri's emendation to add Mitzora into the Mishnah was accepted by the Tanaim. The Rav Sheshet Lo Kavua Tanae. Then Rav Sheshet's emendation was not included in the Tanaic work. So now, this is interesting because these are Amoraim speaking. Rashi on the Mishnah claimed that even though our Mishnah says over here, Zav Zava Yoledet and Mitzora, the word mitzorah does not belong in the Mishnah. To understand why the word mitzorah would belong in the Mishnah is because of what we just said here. that when it came to the emendation of adding in Mitzorah, that was accepted and placed into the Mishnah. On the other hand, the suggestion of Rav Sheshet, Nazir needs to be included, was not accepted to be placed in the Mishnah itself. So the way we have our Mishnah listed, it says, Zav Zavah, you let it, and Mitzorah. Because that's what happened. They put it into the Mishnah. Rashi says, take the word Mitzorah out of the Mishnah. Because otherwise, the Gemara is not understandable. If the word Mitzorah already appears in the Mishnah, then why is Ziri telling us that you have to include Mitzorah? So you're going to say, oh, that's after Ziri made his statement. It was included in the Mishnah. Rashi, in general, will not explain a Mishnah, or doesn't have a Mishnah, that can't support the Hav Amino of the Gemara. And so Rashi thinks that if you have the word Mitzorah in there, you can't support the Hav Amino of the Gemara. And therefore, it's not the right way or the proper way to have the Mishnah be worded. Because otherwise, it gives away the answer before you start it. That's Rashi's view. Obviously, there are Rishonim dissent because of the fact that the Gemara here says it was included. So that's very interesting. You have now Amoraim influencing what the language of the Mishnah is. And Rashi says in the end, you need Nazir as well because you need the Shlamim. So Rashi says the first explanation, which is that you included the word Mitzorah, was that when they taught the Mishnayot going forward, Ziri's emendation was then included, and people said the word Mitzorah going forward when they taught it. On the other hand, Rav Sheshet's emendation of putting in Nazir, even though it's true and necessary, it's treated like any other Chasurei Mechsera in Shas. Chasurei Mechsera is a Mitzanaic work that's missing some words or transition phrase according to the Gemara, and then we want to add in whatever it is to the Mishnah. Despite the fact that we want to add it into the Mishnah, nobody ever changes the Lashona Mishnah. The Lashona Mishnah remains in its original form. And then we have the interpretation of that to explain that original form. And that's the difference here. According to Zairi's explanation that it is Mitzorah, we added that into the Mishnah, and the Mishnah is going to be taught forward in that manner. On the other hand, Rav Sheshet's emendation, which is a Chasurei Mechsera and necessary, nevertheless, it will remain a Chasurei Mechsera situation, and therefore it's only included in the Mishnah when we learn the Mishnah with the interpretive side, with the Gemara along with it. But the Mishnah itself will not be changed to incorporate Nazir. Now, the Baalei Tosafot explain why you might differentiate between Mitzorah and Nazir and that emendation, and that's because Mishum de Mitzorah Yishbo Tuma, Kein Zav, Zavah, Violetet. They are all of the same category, which is a category of things that are Tmeim. Zav, Zavah, Violetet, and Mitzorah are all people who have a problem with interacting with Kodeshim because they are Tmeim. On the other hand, Nazir is not comparable or not similar to them. The Nazir over here is just finishing up his Nazirut. He's terminating his Nizirut. It's not in the same category as these other items. And that's why the Mishnah leaves it out, even though the emendation is necessary and calls it a Chasurei Mechsera. And Tosafot points out that there's another Mishnah in Kretot that also pairs them together and doesn't put in Nazir. And so he sees that these four items as being a grouping that's included in Mishnayot, but Nazir, which is a separate category, always remains on the outside. And so now the Gemara says, Amar Rab Chilkiya Bar Tuvi, Lo Shanu Elo Lishmo. That's only if the korban was brought, the shame that korban. Aval shaloli shmo chayav. But if you bring it shaloli shmo, then you're going to be chayav. Hov roi shaloli shmo bifnim. Because it's roi to be brought shaloli shmo bifnim. So now again, let's break it down into the korbanot here. Alot and shlamim, the Mishnah says you're chayav b'chutz, because they can be brought bifnim. Even though you're mechusar zman, and you're not ready, as a zav, a zavah, you're not ready to bring those korbanot. Nevertheless, you are chayav, because they are ru'im, like petach homay, because you're bringing them as a neder or an indava now. On the other hand, when it came to the asham and the chatat, those are korbanot that are particularly associated with you discharging your obligation with regards to where you are as a status. You finish being a zav, you finish being a yoledet. That's when those korbanot can be brought. Before that time, they're not ru'oi. And you can't bring them as voluntary offerings because they're not nidar v'nidav. So now, Rav Chilkiya amends that and says, wait a minute, that's not always true. Because, olah and shlamim, that's true, nidar v'nidav. But even by a chatat v'asham, there are times when you can bring an asham on the mizbeach, and it'll be kasher. That goes back to the first Mishnah in Masechta. Any korban that's brought shalom lishma is kasher, v'lo ala l'balim. But it wasn't roi the balim. But that makes it roi the petach umayit. Now, you can't say this by a chatat, because a chatat shalom lishma is actually psula. But an asham shalom lishma is kasher. So what Chilkiya is saying is, if you bring an asham shalom lishma, Bachutz, you're going to be chayav, because shalom lishmo bifnim would have been a kosher korban. Now, as Rashi notes over here, when we say that you bring it lishmo, lishmo means if you actively did it l'shem chatat or asham, or you did it stama, if you did it without articulating anything, because that's the purpose of the korban. The korban was designated to be a chatat and asham. So in order to change that status, you have to be nikak. You have to disengage it from what its purpose is, change it from an asham into another korban. So therefore, you have to make it actively, say lo shelo lishmo, otherwise it will remain its status. So Gemara says, ihochi, lishmo nami nechayiv. Why do you say when you bring it lishmo b'chut, you also be chayav? Hobro is shelo lishmo bifnim. Because you could have brought it, shelo lishmo bifnim. Okay, so now you're doing it lishmo. But shelo lishmo would have been kasher. So since shelo lishmo would have been kasher, this is something that could have been roi the petach omoid. So you do lishmo b'chutz, you should be chayav. It says, b'yakira. That's what we just discussed. You need to uproot it. You need to change its status. As long as it remains an asham, the current status of the animal is an asham. And you can't make any assumptions that if you brought it bifnim, it'd be roi if you did it shelo lishmo, because that's not the current status of this animal. If you change it shelo lishmo, then you have changed the designation of the animal. And by changing the designation of the animal, it becomes roi the petach omoid. But without that, it remains an asham. And an asham inherently is not roi the petach omoid, because it's not something that can be brought as a voluntary offering. So if you do it shelo lishmo, if you've done the akira, then you're going to be chayav b'chutz, because it's roi the petach omoid. But if you have yet to do the akira, make it shelo lishmo, then if you do it stam, or you do it lishmo, over there, it remains an asham, and it is pasul bifnim, and therefore you're not going to be chayav for Allah b'chutz. So, matkif la Rav Huna, v'chi yesh lecha davar, she'enu kasher lishmo, v'kasher shelo lishmo. You now have a situation in which something is kasher when it is shelo lishmo, but if it was done lishmo, it would be pasul. So that's a strange phenomenon here. Where that, if you were left it as a asham, it would be problematic to bring bifnim. So now when you make it shelo lishmo, all of a sudden that's going to become kasher. Because maybe the fact that lo lishmo is kasher is only in a scenario or a situation in which the korban had to been brought lishmo, would have been kasher. And that's what empowers it in some sense to be a korban kasher. That when you bring it shelo lishmo, okay, it's not halal lebalim, but at least it's a korban kasher. But if the underlying korban wouldn't have been kasher, then maybe the shelo lishmo also can't be kasher. So it says, "Velo." That's not the case. Very Pesach. Pesach b'shar yemot hashana. Pesach outside of the zman of the korban of Pesach. The enu kasher lishmo. If you bring it as a korban of Pesach, l'shem Pesach, any other time of the year besides ben arba'im on erev Pesach, it is pasul. Yet kasher shelo lishmo. If you do it any other time of the year, you bring the korban of Pesach shelo l'shem Pesach. Kasher. So that's exactly what you're telling me. It's not possible. How is it possible that it's pasul lishmo and kasher for shelo lishmo? Well, yeah, that's exactly what happens by Pesach. Shayimot Hashana, Pesach's brought lishmo, it's pasul. You bring it shelo lishmo, it is kasher. Where it says, that's different. Pesach, b'shayimot Hashana, shlamim ninu. Pesach, the remainder of the year, are classified as shlamim. Meaning that the default status of a Pesach the rest of the year is a shlamim. We've spoken about this in the past because Pesach is a subset of shlamim. It is an enhanced form of shlamim. And so underlying the korban of Pesach is that it is a shlamim. And so therefore any other time of the year where Pesach is not relevant, it reverts to its core character, which is that of a shlamim. And so it's really a shlamim all year round. So a korban Pesach without saying anything in the remainder of the year automatically is a shlamim. In order to make it pasul, you'd have to do it l'shem Pesach. The other hand, an asham, when it's brought, stamo is l'asham. In order to change its status to shelo lishmo, you have to be okay and do it actively shelo lishmo. So the default of the korban Pesach b'shar yemot hashana is a shlamim, and you'd have to actively remove it by making it a korban Pesach. In contrast to the case of the asham, where the stam status, the default status, is that it is an asham. It's only when you do it shelo lishmo that it changes its status. So there's a big difference between a Pesach v'shar yemot hashana, which in essence is a shlamim, versus an asham, which is an asham, unless you're okay to make it into something else that would have been shelo lishmo and make it kasher. So then you can't bring a proof from that to what we're saying over here, that there is a concept that if you did it lishmo by the asham, it would be pasul. In shelo lishmo, it would be kasher bifnim. And the pol yotze, the outcome of that is that if you do it lishmo b'chutz, you're going to be patur. If you do it shelo lishmo b'chutz, you will be chayav, because that is ra'u le petach ol moed. Okay, we're going to stop here, three lines down on the top of kuftet vav amud aleph.